A first look at how corporate America is doing.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, why are some hotels holding on to used bars of soap? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up at the open this morning. The Dow up 89 points, about 0.7% at 12,481. The NASDAQ up more than 1% right now. S&P 500 up just a little bit less than 1%. Alcoa stock up about 1.5% right now after the Pittsburgh-based aluminum maker kicked off corporate earnings season yesterday by announcing its first quarterly loss since 2009. It blamed that loss on the European debt crisis, though it did forecast some growth for the coming year. And corporate earnings is where we'll start now with Julie Niemann, analyst with Smith Moore & Company. She's with us live from St. Louis, as she is every Tuesday. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Jeremy.
So are you expecting global factors like the European debt crisis to weigh on other American companies this earnings season?
Well, there's a lot of yes, but here. The European recession, which clearly they're in right now, is going to have some impact on us. The United States exports about 17% to Europe. So that means basically that we're not sliding because of what's happening in Europe. We're just kind of stagnant. The other thing is Latin America and China are slow growth rate here. So we do see green shoots of growth showing, but there's a lot of weed killer out there. So this is a yes, but it could help us.
And what about the U.S.? Can U.S. consumers sort of come to the rescue if global factors, as you say, are going to weigh companies down?
Well, here's the good news on the jobs data. Very good increase in jobs last month, 200,000 jobs.
Right.
But there are 10 million that have to be recovered here. So that's about 8 short years. Not only that, but the hiring was in low-wage areas, messengers, couriers, restaurants, retail. That's about half. So the need to find a job is being made, but the decent job isn't there, which means that you're going to have very slow consumer spending. Yes, but we are recovering, but it's not a quality recovery.
Julie Niemann, analyst with Smith Moore & Company, thanks as always.
You bet.
Well, now to Washington, where the National Transportation Safety Board is holding a hearing right now. Officials are asking about the safety of daredevil events, events like the air show in Reno, Nevada last September, in which a World War II-era plane crashed into a crowd of spectators, killing 11 people and injuring 70. Marketplace's Bob Moon reports.
Planes are supposed to fly mostly parallel to the grandstands at air shows and not point directly at the crowd. But aviation attorney Mike Danko says it isn't the first time that rule has failed to keep spectators safe.
The problem with that, which we should have known previously, is that it doesn't work when an aircraft goes out of control. But that has happened in the past, so the FAA wasn't paying attention.
Danko says the Federal Aviation Administration has created a false impression that it carefully regulates the industry. Mostly, he says, the agency takes the word of air show organizers.
It would almost be better if the FAA backed out entirely, and then people would know that they're taking their chances.
Michael Barr is an aviation safety expert at the University of Southern California. He agrees regulators need to take a more active role, but points out there's no way to guarantee safety.
Try to look at every single risk that can happen. You will end up closing the air show. You'll just stop all air shows.
More than 10 million people attend air shows in the U.S. every year, and until last year, there hadn't been any spectator fatalities since 1951. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com. And by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
We all know you can recycle cans, bottles, boxes, and paper, but what about soap? Like the little bars of soap that you get at hotels and only use a tiny bit of. Well, as it turns out, recycled hotel soap is the latest frontier in corporate efforts to go green. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports.
When Derek Kayongo came to the U.S. as a refugee from Uganda, a lot of American practices struck him as odd. His first time staying at a hotel, he wondered why the housekeeper replaced his bar of soap every day with a new one. So he asked the front desk.
What do you do with a partially used bar? He said, we throw those out. I went back to my room and I lost it. I understood what it means not to have amenities like soap. Soap is the first line of defense against germs and diseases.
Diseases that kill millions of poor people around the world and could be easily prevented. Years later, Derek Kiongo's rented a warehouse in Atlanta. It's full of huge bins holding thousands of tiny soaps.
So each of these bins has half a ton.
His global soap project collects them from hotels around the country. Volunteers scrape off the outer layer, grind up the soap underneath, and make new bars.
This is what we give to a family of four, and it lasts them about a month because they take showers not as often as we do because of access of water and all those things.
The project's been limited by shipping costs. For one, soap is heavy, and Kiongo's got just one grinder.
If I had five of these machines, I would make a million bars.
A new partnership with Hilton Hotels might let him. The company's offered not just soap, but expertise in global supply chains and funding for equipment and transport. Hilton's vice president of sustainability, Christopher Corpuel, says it's not meant to sway individual customers to stay at his hotels. Environmental and social efforts give Hilton an edge for big corporate contracts.
Whether it's meetings, events, large customers who do multiple rooms with us, those customers are wanting to know what we do as a company as it relates to sustainability.
Because it helps those clients meet their goals and tell a good story, too. I'm Eve Troe for Marketplace.
And finally to New Hampshire, which, if you haven't noticed, is holding a primary today in the Republican presidential contest. The Granite State isn't very representative economically, though. It's got the fourth lowest jobless rate in the nation, 5.2%, and it's got the lowest poverty rate in the country at 8.3%. And yet, according to a recent Bloomberg News poll, the number one issue for voters in New Hampshire today is the economy. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
You sit down, you flip on the television, and boom, just like that, you're inundated with choices.
There are certain channels that you look at, like everyone pays for, no one knows why they pay for. If you're a channel that people pay for and don't know why, you have a very short lifespan.
I'm Kai Ryssdal. Pay what you need. The future of TV next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.